And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hello and welcome to Real Dudes Podcast. This is one of our real mini episodes. This is Carrington, and I just wanted to say that this episode is another interview, and it is all about Mick Waite from Four Horses. He developed and ported, or he helped port Kid Trip over to the 3DS. He gave us some review copies. He also gave us extra copies to give away at a convention that Kyle and I attended this past weekend in Huntington, West Virginia, which is Power Up RetroCon. So a huge shout out and a very, very big thanks to Mick Waite for giving us those 3DS codes, and also for spending time with us and giving us this opportunity to talk with him. I hope you enjoyed. We had a ton of fun, and we hope to have him on again really soon with future projects he has going on. Once again, my name's Carrington, and this is the interview with Mick Waite from Four Horses. Enjoy. Hey everyone, it's Carrington here with Real Dudes Podcast, and I'm here with Kyle.
How's it going?
And we also have a very special guest with us, Mick from Four Horses. Mick, how's it going?
It's going really well, thank you very much. Thanks for asking.
Oh, no problem. Glad to have you on the show today.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I enjoy these sort of things.
Oh, awesome. And I just want to have I can't thank you enough for contacting us and giving us those codes to Kid Trip on the 3DS. That was a huge, huge help to us this past weekend when we were at our first con. People loved Kid Trip, and so we can't thank you enough for giving those out to us. And we gave away 5 copies, actually, too.
Oh, that's cool. That's really good. I'm glad to hear the public's enjoying it. I mean, they'd get some feedback on Miiverse, but generally I don't sort of hear much from the public, so it's always nice to hear honest appraisals of a game you've made, because you can't trust friends and family, they lie.
This is true.
It was kind of funny, because you would have people come up and pick up the 3DS and start playing and just put it down and just say, oh my goodness, this is hard. And then you would like have those diehard like old school gaming fans that would come up and just keep playing and playing and playing with just giant grins on their face. So it was just a neat experience to see who it attracted, and just it just that old school gaming group of people that just really loved the challenge of it.
Yeah, the difficulty level's certainly up there. There's I can see that it would put some new players off, maybe, but I've got to say, it put myself off at first when I was playing it on the iPhone. I got to a bit and I thought, I'm actually enjoying this. But once I stuck with it, once I finished the game, and then go back to challenge myself, I mean, there was one particular level that I really hated it, and now I can beat it without losing a life, and it's like, yes, I have mastered you.
Yeah, my first playthrough of it, I think I died 506 times.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah. But I think that's a bit better than me, actually. I think mine was about 560. Was but it? I'm going to say I was on the iPhone.
So yeah, that's a little bit different. Difficult. Yeah. Before we jump too far into it, why don't you just go ahead and tell us about yourself?
I apologize for that added sound effect there. Okay, so I'm, as you've already said, Mick Waite. I'm somewhere in my mid-40s, born in the 70s, and I've grown up all my life playing video games. And by nature of owning a home computer for playing them at home, just sort of taught myself to program along the way, and thought that making video games for a living would be a good idea. Obviously, that was totally wrong, so I do a different job for a living and make video games for fun instead. I originally made a game called Digger Dan, which was very much inspired by a game I played in my childhood called Repton, which you probably won't have heard of, and managed to agree to a publisher, another developer to get that published on my behalf. And from there, basically thought it might be a good idea to get registered with Nintendo as a developer so I could do more work. So that's when I set up the company Four Horses, which is just me. There's mm-hmm. no one else works here. And here is my house. So yeah, that's me and that's Four Horses.
That is your life wrapped up in 3 minutes.
Yeah, just about. I think there were a couple of bits in between. Yeah. I got married and had a child, but yeah, the important bits I covered.
So you set yourself up with a Nintendo developer. Would you consider yourself, or as a Nintendo developer, would you consider yourself a Nintendo fanboy?
The probably the best honest answer to that would have to be yes. But I'd like to say that I'm more of a fan of the types of games that Nintendo make. So
okay.
I'd put things like Crash Bandicoot, Ratchet and Clank in that category as well. They're the sorts of games that are fun to play, easy to pick up. Challenges if you want to go back and play more. And I don't know, just entertaining sort of games. So I do own multiple game systems, but I tend to use my Nintendo ones most at the minute.
Okay.
It just really depends on what's available.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I'm a fanboy.
Yeah.
I was there at midnight for the Switch.
Yeah. Oh, definitely nothing wrong with that. So you mentioned your company's name, Four Horses. How did that come about?
Well, it's not a story that translates well to foreign lands, even if they speak English. Mm-hmm. But basically, my grandfather used to tell a few comedy stories from his younger days, and one of them sort of ended with the line about four horses, but in his accent, it sounded a bit more like he was saying something else.
Yeah.
And that was the joke. That was the whole point of it. So when it came and named the company, I was actually first going to go for No More Magic, which was from another story of his.
Mm-hmm.
But then we settled on Four Horses. It seemed to work well. So there's nothing too meaningful to it. It just seemed like a nice tribute to him.
Yeah, almost certainly. It's a pretty cool story to it.
Can you tell us some about your earlier years of as a developer, just even before Four Horses, and kind of just tell us what it was like to develop games, maybe growing up or through the years, and then has that anything changed over the years, especially today, that you've noticed at all?
Yeah, I can. I've not been developing games professionally for as long as you might think, given my age. I was just about coming up 30. It was just the turn of the millennium that I actually got my first job in the video game industry. I sort of had a bit of a rocky start to life, to be honest. I was living on my own, supporting myself from the age of 16. So higher education wasn't really an option. I didn't have a lot of self-confidence or self-belief. So I never really thought I was going to amount to much, and I never really pushed myself, which is a shame. Things could have been very different, but how life is.
Fair enough.
So at some point later in life, I think I still had a bit of a vision, a bit starry-eyed about the games industry, in that I didn't think it was almost like a view of it as a Hollywood sort of thing. It's like, it's a nice fantasy, but I'm never going to be working in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend basically said, you know, you're good at games, you test them, you play them to destruction, you'd be good as a tester, use that as a foothold into the industry. And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, I don't want to relocate. I like where I live. I don't have to be sort of chasing wherever these companies are. And he pointed out that there was one hiring testers about 4 miles away from where I lived. So I applied, thinking I'd get turned down. And I didn't. Quickly worked my way up in the industry into project management, which is just the most evil job in the world. And on the side, whilst I had sort of access to development equipment, that's when I went ahead and developed the Gadan, teaching myself to program in C at the same time, which I had not really done before. So from there, I've worked at a few companies professionally as a software developer within the games industry. The biggest changes are, I mean, the advent of gaming on mobile devices is just insane. It's turned things on its head. It's turned things on its head so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just things like you can't do cross-platform gaming anymore and cover everything because there's no point doing phones and consoles. Because if you put it on the phone, you've got to give it away or people won't buy it.
Yeah.
And if you put it on consoles, people say, well, why are you charging me so much more than the phone? Plus, there's the obvious differences in the way the input methods work. But, mobile gaming's just changed people's expectations of what they want from games. They want everything and they don't want to pay a penny for it, which makes life challenging. But other than that, the rise of indie. I mean, indie was sort of cool and a bit niche for a while, I think, it's fair to say. The indie renaissance. But now there's just, it's so easy to develop. There's so many indie developers out there. I think it's becoming a bit passe. And there's just too many titles out there to compete with, quite frankly.
Fair enough. You know, I feel like it's ever since around the time, I'd say 2010, around there, when Minecraft started coming out, and it was still kind of like a niche thing, still coming up. I feel like that's when we just started hearing all these, this boom of that, you know, 16, 8-bit look to it. And
yes.
And indie developers started coming out of the woods, it seemed like, and started just making games that were just almost AAA level titles and really making a name for themselves, you know, such as, you know, maybe Supergiant Games, and with titles such as that, there's like a Bastion, because we just had Darren Korb on the show who did the music for them. It just a lot of those titles, it seems like, have just started to come out of the woods, and now it just seems like indie developers are expected to make games that are almost as good as, say, like Call of Duty or Halo and things like that out in the market, which is a tough thing to live up to.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. I mean, I developed Digadan on almost no money whatsoever, and with just a team of myself, and then we subcontracted out the level design, and I don't think it's a bad title by any sense of the word, but it's certainly not got the amount of polish and time spent on it that some indie developers have got available to them these days, and it's scary. I'd say from my own point of view, I'd like to just stick to making games that are of a reasonable quality, but have not got the biggest budgets in the world. A game doesn't have to be AAA to be fun. Yeah. And I just hope that the public sort of understands that and appreciates it and buys them and makes me rich.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. So can you tell us a little bit more about your work with Kid Trip, like how that relationship got started, kind of thing? Because I know you're not the creator, but you ported it over to the 3DS. So could you explain maybe how you got started doing something like that, porting it, and that your relationship with the original creator, and how that maybe that gets started a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite a long time ago. I couldn't even really tell you the exact year, but I was visiting the Nintendo Life website quite a lot at the time, and I was starting to become a little bit active in the forums. And on there, I'd noticed that there was this guy, called himself Pixel Man at the time, putting up little bits of sort of mock-ups of games that he'd done, and he was doing little pixel avatars for other users and the like. And he'd posted some screenshots of this game that he was making, and he was doing the art himself, he was doing the level design himself, doing the coding, which is like at least two things more than I can do. So I was quite impressed. And he was still at high school at the time, I believe. I found a bit more. I tried to find out as much about him as I could and what was going on, because I liked his work and I liked the idea of bringing it across the 3DS. And this was probably about 2011. And it turned out that he's very good at doing these mock-ups and doing these, starting work on these games and then losing interest and moving on to something else. So it was looking like nothing had come of this, as nice as it looked. But he was getting a lot of encouragement, a lot of positive feedback, including from me. And he did eventually get around to finishing it and publishing it on iOS in 2013. And I said to him at the time, if you want this 3DS version, let me know. But unfortunately, at that time, I wasn't a publisher myself, so we would have had to talk to a third party to get them publishing for us, which means the money would be split even more and it'd be less worthwhile for him to do. But years later, I'd forgotten about the game, and I was in my current job as a software developer outside of video game development, and just chatting to a colleague there, and he happened to mention this great mobile game that he really loved with its simplistic retro art style, and it was Kid Trip. And I said, I had talked to him about a 3DS version, but nothing came of that. I should chase it up. So, long story slightly shorter, in February this year, I agreed for him to send me the source code for the game, and I started converting it and had it up and running and playable within about 3 weeks, which is really good. It was written in a completely different language to, in a different language to what you use for the 3DS. So it was just a case of going through line by line and rewriting it.
Okay. Very nice. So I had a quick question about that, because I don't consider myself like a serious programmer or anything. Like, I started learning programming in college, and that was, about 4 or 5 years ago. And yeah. I try and keep up with it from time to time. So what language is iOS in, and what language is the 3DS in, and how hard is it to translate all that? I know this is kind of a very niche question that not many of our viewers might know, but I am very interested.
The iOS code was written in Objective-C, although I prefer to call it Objectionable C because I'm a comedy god.
not a problem with that.
And the 3DS version is C++. They've obviously got, both languages have got the same roots with the C language, but they're different ways of doing object-oriented programming, in sort of using C as a base. So your typical instruction of take a variable and multiply it by a different variable and store it somewhere else, those instructions generally translate over exactly as they are, but it's other syntax around the objects and classes that's it's just horrible in Objective-C, basically. It comes with a lot of helpful types as well, for example, container types that you can use that just automatically expanding lookup dictionaries that'll store any object in, and things like that that became slightly problematic for me, needed a bit more work. But yeah, I think that's enough technical talk.
All right, very cool. It's the port was done very well. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell unless you have an iOS and 3DS standing next to each other that, you know, there's, you know, slight differences. You know, obviously the controls is the biggest thing, but yeah. I think the port was very well done.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I wouldn't have wanted it released if there was a difference. It was something I was adamant on, that I wanted the game to remain untouched. It needed to run at 60 frames a second. It needed to be, the levels not to be modified, to be completable. It just needed to be 100% perfect port.
Were there like major challenges porting between iOS to the 3DS? Like, were there anything in particular that stood out to you that was like just frustrating to port between the two platforms?
No, I felt really, really lucky there. I mean, one of the things that could have been a real pain is actually the screen size. Mm-hmm. The game runs at a sort of virtual screen size that's quite low resolution, obviously, from the chunky pixels, and it's scaled up to fit the screen. Now, if it was scaled up to an uneven amount, say like 2.5 times, you'd get fuzzy edges on things and it'd look a bit naff. Mm-hmm. On iOS, it was scaled at least to a multiple of 4. I don't know the exact multiples that it was scaled to. But on 3DS, scaling it by 3 fit the screen perfectly, which was great, because if it hadn't fit the screen, I'm not quite sure what I would have done, because that would have been major changes to make it work.
Yeah.
So really, no, there was nothing too challenging. Some of the text looked a bit messed up, scaled at 3 times. It didn't render properly, but we found a way around that and got it sorted. Doing the parallax effect just worked perfectly the way he was drawing the screen already. It just worked. So awesome. It was good.
Yeah, that's actually good to hear. Less stress for you.
Yeah, and it's gone on to Switch just as easily as well.
I was going to say, yeah, was there much difference between porting it from those platforms to the Switch?
No, again, different scale factor to fill the screen, but the Switch screen's already the same resolution as one of the iOS devices anyway, so yeah, it went on the Switch really well. In fact, it took me a week to get up and running fully on the Switch.
Okay. So is there much left to do to have it finished on the Switch?
There might not be.
Okay.
I haven't decided.
Okay.
I've got a little feature in my head that I think might be a really neat little thing for Switch, but I don't know if people would appreciate it, so whether it'd be worth me putting the effort into doing it,
mm-hmm.
or if I should just get it submitted. But I'm going to put tutorial screens back in, because people don't seem to understand the controls and don't read e-manuals. Yeah. So I'm going to put the tutorial screen back in.
So sad.
As a very minimum.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're good.
Oh, my phone. That's a reminder. Apparently I've got some sort of Skype interview.
When I was...
just with some random people.
Just, yeah. When I was playing it on the 3DS, I did think that this would be great to have, like, on a big screen TV. I don't know why. It felt like it should have been on the Switch, and not only portable, because it is on the 3DS, but I feel like, just sitting at home on my couch, it would be a lot of fun just to sit back and play on it.
Yeah, I understand that. I've got to say, it is really nice on the Switch. We've got a 55-inch screen in our front room. The front room's not huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possibly just a little bit too chunky at that size. But it's really nice on the Switch's home screen, mm-hmm. on the tablet screen. I think it's probably fine. To be fair, I was stood right next to the screen as I was playing it, because at the time I couldn't detach a controller.
Okay.
So...
But
you can now, yeah.
So, like, going back real quick to the 3DS, getting that 3D effect on the 3DS, is it hard to achieve for a game that's not originally made for the 3DS? Like,
the 3D effect, did
yeah.
you say?
Yeah, is it something difficult to achieve for a game that's not originally made for the 3DS?
I haven't encountered a situation where it has been.
Okay.
It wasn't for Kid Trip, because it was already drawing parallax layers with the clouds moving at mm-hmm. different speeds in the background. So it was just simply a case with my homegrown engine, just say draw this one at this particular stereoscopic depth and then the next one at that. So in that case, no, it wasn't. With other games, it might be a bit more difficult. It might not work so naturally. But again, like I said, I felt very lucky with Kid Trip. It was a really easy port.
Very cool.
Yeah, I was very interested in that question also, only because there are certain games out there that are, made for the 3DS. Even though they're made for the 3DS, they don't have that 3D effect, such as like Pokemon, unless you're in the battles and stuff. So I was wondering that, and that's very good to know that, and interesting that the 3D effect really isn't that hard.
No, I don't like to criticize other developers, but yeah, I'm a player as well. I'm not a fan of, particularly when it's a port from another system, people not mm-hmm. bothering to put the 3D effect on there. Yeah,
because that's one of the reasons why I got a 3DS in the first place. I got it launch week, for the 3D effect, because I loved it. 3D without 3D glasses, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so when I see a game out there for the 3DS that doesn't have that 3D effect, it disappoints me so much. And so I was very happy to see that Kid Trip had the 3D effect, because that was the first thing I checked as soon as I booted it up.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm the same. And I think the 3D effect actually can often look nicer on 2D games than 3D polygon games as well. But that's personal preference.
I agree with that as well. But yeah, Kid Trip on the 3DS, I cannot tell you like how happy I was. Like, that was hats off to you doing that. No problem. So what games are you playing right now, would you say, currently?
Right, well, I can actually answer that question. If you'd have asked me about a month ago, it would be absolutely nothing. I've not played games in so long. I mean, towards the end of last year, I was quite big on Elite Dangerous. I've got the nice joystick setup for that and the Oculus Rift headset, and I sort of love the game and sort of hate it at times as well. But yeah, I love that. I actually contacted Frontier, I attempted to contact Frontier and ask if I could do a port of the original Elite on 3DS. I thought it might be a lovely fit on that system. But right at the minute, I'm just finished World 1 of Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle on the Switch, which I know a lot of, I know a lot of people are hating on that game simply because it's got Rabbids in them, and it's like, well, you're missing out on a great game because it is a fantastic game.
I was
I was just going to say, there's a huge amount of polish, a huge amount of love gone into it. It's got every bit of quality that a native Nintendo first-party game would have. And it's really well-designed. It's really clever. It's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, I was one of those people. Up to E3, I was just not even, you know, giving it any attention at all. I didn't really care for it. Mario Rabbids, what is this garbage? And then I saw the trailer for it at E3, and my jaw was just to the ground, and I was trying to pick it up. It's like, this looks amazing.
I was very indifferent about it until I saw the video. I was intrigued, but I didn't think it would be for me. And then I saw the video, and I saw quite a few clever things in it. I don't play many turn-based strategy games. I like the idea that you can choose whether you move first and attack later or what. You can just do anything in any order, and the combination of using the characters together, I think it's very clever. And it's just a lot of fun. And then I'm picking up Metroid in 2 weeks. I've got that pre-ordered. And after that, it'll be Mario Odyssey, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. As far as the Switch schedule goes. You know, I was going back and forth about Mario and Raving Rabbids, you know, whether I should buy it or not, because I wanted to get it, but it was like $60 here in the U.S. And I'm like, I don't know if I feel like spending that much money on a game I don't even know about yet. But I went ahead, took the plunge, and yeah, I have to wholeheartedly agree. That game is a lot of fun, and if anyone just trashes it just because it has the rabbits in it and it's a Mario mashup, they are missing out on a ton of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I found myself cracking up from the opening scene, and I think I'm in World 2. I just started World 2, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it so much. And it's actually kind of difficult, which I wasn't surprising. Like, the boss fights are not just cakewalks.
Yeah, absolutely. Those blooming piranha plants, driving me mad.
That boss fight took me quite a few tries.
Rabbid Kong as well. Yeah, I remember he was annoying me. But my son had already beaten that, so he told me a little trick. I don't know if it's the only way to do it, but he taught me a little trick for that, which was very helpful, I've got to say.
See, what I did was I used Luigi and his little, like, remote bomb thing to go on the panel so that I didn't risk anyone going over there.
Yeah, that's exactly what he showed me.
Nice. Yeah, I figured that out right before I died the first time, and then I used it the second try and beat it right away.
Cool.
So do you have any... Oh, is there a genre that you'd like to work with that you haven't had the chance to yet?
I think next on my list is, stupidly enough, platform game. Because as much as you jump on platforms in Kid Trip, it's sort of not what I call a platform game. Mm-hmm. I do have a little bit of an idea for a sort of sequel to Kid Trip. Now, there's already been a sequel called Miles and Kilo, available on iOS now, which is very much a similar game to Kid Trip. But I want to do a little game in between that sort of follows on from the ending of Kid Trip and is a proper sort of Metroidvania platform adventure with full control over the character rather than auto run setup. I'm talking to Mike Burns, the original creator of Kid Trip, about that, and hopefully we'll be able to agree to do something, but can't make any promises.
If it comes out, we highly look forward to it because we love your work and Mike's work as well.
Thank you.
Now, do you have any possibly parting wisdom for any aspiring devs out there, just from your experiences, just kind of like for anyone that might be listening out there, you know, any advice that you would have for anyone trying to get started or has already gotten started, but maybe having a difficult time trying to maybe with trying to finish their work for any aspiring devs out there?
My first thing I'd say to anyone is, don't think that the games industry is a fun place to work. It's horrible. So if you work for a bigger company, can be absolutely brutal. People get laid off at the drop of a hat, usually around Christmas. But for an aspiring indie developer, just believe in yourself and don't give up. Keep going with... Oh, my phone again. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're good.
Just believe in yourself and keep going. Like I say, when I started out, I didn't have a whole lot of confidence or belief in my work. But here I am now with two published titles, one published worldwide. Kid Trip's now out in Japan as well, so...
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, just keep going. It can be done. I'm entirely self-taught as well. I've not been for any formal education in software development. It's all done entirely in my own time.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And anyone out there, you know, listen to Mixed Words, and hopefully maybe you too can have, you know, games coming out on 3DS or Switch or whatever, you know, and worldwide as well. So, yeah. Mick, where can people find and follow you on social media and things like that?
I don't do much in the way of social media. I'm at Four Horses Games. That's F-O-U-R rather than F-O-R, or we don't make games for horses. That'd be crazy. other than that, there's the Four Horses website, which is fourhorses.co.uk. That's probably the easiest way. There's a contact form on there if you need to help, or you can probably find me on Miiverse for the next 2 months till Nintendo murder it.
I'm actually really sad to see that go, because I look forward to turning on my Wii U and seeing all the stuff that people make, and the fact that it's going away, it's kind of sad.
I'm the same. For Digger Dan, there was some of the black and white pixel artwork that people do. There's some of those on there that are just, they're really nice. I'm going to go on there and back them up before Miiverse goes, because they need to be preserved for all eternity.
I agree, and you know, just, and also just like playing Smash Brothers, and there's one level specific to, you know, people, what people stuff made. I don't know if that's going to go away or not. Like, that's,
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm just kind of upset. I think I read that there's a list of what's going
to
happen when Miiverse is gone, because obviously there's a lot of games that integrated with it, and that integration goes away. So, such a shame.
That is such a shame. Well, Mick, thank you for come in here, and we can't thank you enough for giving us those codes, and we gave them away, and it really helped a lot, and helped us converse with people during the con this past weekend, so we can't thank you enough. So thank you very much, and hopefully we can have you on the show sometime again soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd be happy to. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem. Once again, this is Carrington. Just wanting to say thank you for Mick for coming on and spending some time with us. We can't thank him enough, but if you want to go in and support him, go ahead and look up his games, Digger Dan or Kid Trip. Both are on the 3DS, and look out for Kid Trip on the Nintendo Switch. Once again, thank you, Mick, for spending time with us. We can't thank you enough for all the support that you've shown us, and we can't wait to see what you have in store for us in the future. As always, have a rad day.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.